Namaste and welcome to the Healing Mirror Podcast. My name is Saraya Saraswati, and here I'm offering discussions, global satsangs, and interviews with spiritual teachers, philanthropists, and awakened and inspirational humans. It's always nice to start with a couple of deep breaths, just allowing that out breath to settle us into the present moment. Allowing the light of awareness to notice whether your thought process is active or not active. And knowing that we are not our thoughts, we are not the creator of that thought process. That thought process is simply going on, or it's not. But instead, let us settle into the sense of being, that sense of aliveness which includes this body, but it is not restricted to the body. It includes thought and the arising and passing of thought, but it is not limited to that either. In fact, it is beyond all limitation. The expanded field of consciousness, field of love, field of open, awake aliveness is where all separation dissolves. Taking a couple of deep breaths as we come back into awareness of this more limited space that we share. But maintaining that awareness that we are not the body, we are not the thoughts. Yet we are, by default of birth, given this wonderful vehicle, this body, mind, to travel with in this lifetime. This is the tool or the instrument that the universe is playing through. And it is playing through like the strings on a harp when plucked produce harp music. When consciousness plays through these instruments, then what comes through is determined by the instrument itself. Flute will produce the sound of a flute, a harp will produce the sound of a harp. And what comes through this vehicle, this instrument, will be the programming that's here within this instrument, whatever that is. But the one thing, the seed that seems to be planted within each of us, as we are born into this particular reality and ask to live through this instrument, to allow the universe to play through this, there is a seed in each of us. And that seed, I was contemplating today on the Australian bush, and I feel that those seeds are a little bit like some of our native plants here in Australia. Some seeds germinate and grow when they're watered. Some seeds germinate and grow through fire. You know, in Australia, many of the native plants, a bushfire will come through and it will just activate that growth within the seed. And I feel that we all have this seed within us, which has the potential to grow and blossom as love, as presence, as present love. And that seed of potential is ignited when it is ignited, when it's watered with the right water, or perhaps, you know, the flames of the fire of life crack that seed and it germinates. And that fire or that water can come in so many different ways. You know, the fire of life can, you know, those flames can lick at us and tease us and burn us and scald us into germination. Or the water, you know, the rains, the water of experience just may fall into the crack, right crack, so that that seed can germinate within us. But once that seed, that potential seed of awakened love, of freedom to be the consciousness that is playing through this instrument. Once that is opened, there is a deep yearning that awakens in each and every one of us. And that yearning is the yearning for that love, for that freedom, for that peace, for that freedom from the mind, freedom from suffering. And it's that yearning and that growth from that little seed, it'll put out little sprouts and it'll start to grow. And it'll be watered by certain things, but then it may shrivel from other things. And so we find ourselves in rooms like this, perhaps, or we find ourselves in awe of nature, or the magnificence, you know, of the great mystery. And we begin to see an emptiness in the things that we're taught to admire in life. All of a sudden, money and fame and name doesn't have any attraction to us anymore. We begin to see that the mind pulls us in fear. We begin to notice that we get drawn into what we can see is an endless battle with the egoic self, or the false self, or the self that's been developed by the image that we've been taught to put out to the world. So we begin to have this sense of dissatisfaction with life as it is, or as we've been taught to act in the world. And that is like the flames of the fire that begin to crack the seed, or the rain that begins to germinate that seed. But once the seed is cracked and the germination process begins, that can be then, you know, the oscillating time where we get a taste of clarity and then we slip back into believing in the old mental patterns. Or we go through periods of confusion and that seed, though, that seed of potential once germinated is never satisfied. It will continue to branch out until it reaches the light and pulls that light into our heart. So that's what seems to have germinated here tonight. Tonight, today, there's no time, there's no space. Here we are in different parts of this wonderful world, and there's no time. We're just here together now. So it's over to you now to share, to question, to inquire. Let us inquire together. Let's water that seed, or have the fire crack it so it can germinate and sprout and grow stronger limbs around our heart.
Thank you. Yeah, your concept that we really struck me today. We said we are programmed for something to affect. That's what I heard, that we are individuals who are programmed to experience through this. And I took it as like, I am programmed as I am to experience and come through this, or not sure the words, but that really struck us, made me feel really showing that each of us is, of course, the same one being, but we have a little program, and we are in this program, in this little body or mind, we're here to experience through this, not to become something, someone else, but to accept. And it's enabled me to accept all my good and bad points that I might conceive them as. And accept them all. It's beautiful the way you kind of illustrated that we are individual programs or little codes that the divine is experiencing itself, I suppose.
We are born with these beautiful vehicles, and each of us has the seed within us to actually be embodied, but have the experience of divine love while embodied. And that potential is the most incredible gift. I'm really feeling it today. I'm very close. So it's a bit hard to put it into words, but that is such a beautiful gift that we all have that potential yet. You know, we look around and we see so-called suffering occurring, yet there is this absolute potential that it's all perfect. We are perfect, you know. The good, the bad, the ugly is perfect. And if that's all seen from a place of love, it's like a mother with her child, you know. A mother doesn't see any of the flaws in her little child. You know, you might have the ugliest baby in the world, but to you, that baby is perfect. It's beautiful. It can do no wrong. It doesn't matter if it screams or poos its pants or vomits on you. It is perfect and beautiful as it is. Or coughs. Yeah. Thank you, Ish. I hope your vehicle is more polished and in better health soon. And it's a beautiful thing. I mean, what a beautiful world. What a beautiful imagining of the universe to come up with. Look at the beautiful apparent multiplicity and diversity in this room. It's just magnificent, isn't it? Really is really magnificent.
I wanted to share something about this current time, and something that I heard about the fact that I hadn't quite realized this, but somebody said that in their lifetime that the population of the world has increased 3 times. So therefore, for some reason, there are this multiplicity of beings that have manifested here at this particular time. And so there was a question about, wow, what's happening there? That's really interesting that something is arising, something is happening, and that there are these sort of pockets across the globe of awakening, of stepping into awareness from very diverse spaces and places. And I just felt this frisson of excitement about that, about, wow, well, how amazing. What's happening now?
If you shine a light, that light can have billions of light particles to create one light. So really, you know, infinite possibilities can occur here, and infinite perhaps expressions of that one light. Of course, I could say, who needs to know? And of course, it's always that the mind, you know, it's a play of the mind, isn't it? And it's so seductive and it's so enticing that it's a wonderful part of the game, so to speak. But it does feel at this time that yes, there are, in so many different parts of the world and in so many obscure places, that light is shining more brightly, and that seed has germinated and is flourishing. And that's a beautiful thing. You know, that's a beautiful thing. I mean, if we're just using our minds and talking about this planet Earth, then this planet has an amazing ability to regenerate itself. I mean, looking back through the planet's history, and this is just using the mind, of course, and this is just using history and the story of history of this planet. but it has an amazing ability to regenerate itself. You know, there's talk of the scientists saying, you know, if we keep going at this level, then within, you know, so long, we'll basically create the beginning of our own extinction. So that's on that level, and we can talk on that level, and there's so many different theories going around at the moment. But there's also so much waking up occurring at the moment, isn't there? There's so much light being shone. And I guess it's where we choose to focus. If we really want to experience freedom, then our focus is not going to be following the newest theory, etc. We can have feelings about all of that, but staying as delicately present as we can be to the aliveness that's available in every moment. And it's being in nature, of course, immediately reminds us of this, because nature is simply unfolding. Nature is simply aliveness without the mind stuff, isn't it? It's unfolding in front of us. The challenge that seems to be faced in these instruments is that the mind gets in the way of the playing of the music through these instruments. But yet we need the mind. You know, the mind is part of the instrument, isn't it? It's a gift so that we can have this bodily experience, which has been orchestrated as well by the one thing that's going on. So the mystery is just so awesome and so beautiful that if we can just stay with that and have that sense of how wonderful this unfolding is, it really is a gift. And that love, while love is experienced in one way as happiness, love is not always easy either. It can also be experienced as pain and compassion. So we're not saying here that we're always going to feel happy, you know, but that feeling of love can fill us up. But as soon as, you know, the mind comes in to claim that, it's so delicate. It's like a spider's web, you know. At the moment in our garden, there's lots and lots of spiders, and they're all spinning their webs so that we've got all these little paths we've created through the forest, and you walk through a path and you get a web in your face, you know. But those webs are so beautifully and delicately woven. But they're sticky. They're quite sticky. And one little thread on that web goes, and the whole web is affected. So as soon as we, you know, delve back into mine and yours, the experience is shifted. When there is us as one, as the aliveness that's expressing here and there and everywhere as one, then, you know, that beautiful web is just perfect, and every thread is shining. But it's very, very easy to tear the web and get stuck in the stickiness of the mind stuff that can create a hole in that experience of the one love, the one presence, the one sense of being. And it's that clarity of there's no way to do that. That just becomes irresistibly, we're irresistibly drawn to it, like a moth is to the light, you know. That seed, once it germinates, it's drawn, its little leaves will reach for the sun, they'll reach for the light, and it will cling to life through that light. It's a very powerful silence tonight, isn't it? It's interesting that when we feel so full, there are no questions. There really is nothing much to say, to add to the preciousness and the love of the moment. We just need to remember that little seed and nurture it by pulling out of unnecessary entanglements with the mind stuff. Action will happen. We will be moved. Like tonight, just at twilight, Terry and I were sitting down in the fire circle and I lit a small fire and we just sat there and watched the fire flames for a while. And I'd been feeling very silent all day today and very close, and it was just so beautiful to watch those flames of the fire. And then the reflection of the seed came in. But be assured, being human, the mind will sweep in again and have its say. It's through that beautiful light of awareness that we can just keep reminding ourselves to nurture the presence that seed can only be alive to the moment. And the more empty we become, the more we let go of the need to know, it seems that the universe will draw the little tendrils of that shoot in some direction. We will be moved in some way. We will be lived in some way. Usually beyond what the mind could possibly imagine, because all our imaginings are only based on past experience. We can't imagine the unimaginable. We can't imagine beyond what the mind thinks it already knows. So stepping into the great mystery in this way is like stepping into the void and just allowing, you know, allowing the universe to play the instrument here in whatever way. Fits into that great web, into that perfection of being. And we can never be doing anything wrong. Because once that seed has been cracked and that yearning awakened, we'll be drawn back over and over and over again. We'll be drawn toward that light. And each time we seem to stumble is perfect because it's redirecting us back to the light. It's not wrong. It's like if we're walking, we're going on a walk to get somewhere particular. It's not all about arriving. It's about being present to each step along the way. So Terry, if you've got something to share, I'm going to pass over to you now because there's only silence here now.
Yeah, this quietness is nice. It's actually the prerequisite to being and it's understanding happens on the surface in the intellect or in thought, and it also happens at a deeper level. And at that deeper level, it becomes quietness because thought literally understands itself out of existence. It's when thought sees the futility of what it's trying to do, which is actually to protect a fictitious character that is made of itself. There's a film called 2001. I don't know if anyone has seen that. It's a very old film. Stanley Kubrick made this in the 70s, I think. And we're long past 2001 now, of course. But it's interesting, the symbolism in that. Because if you take man, who is riding in this spaceship as consciousness, and Hal, the ship's computer, is thought. So consciousness, or man, designed this ship, the human body, and in it is this survival mechanism called thought, that is there to protect the mind-body mechanism in this reality, this world, this dream, this whatever. And it mistakenly starts to imagine that it has an identity of its own, and the purpose turns towards protecting itself. And what happens in the film is that man, consciousness, gets shut out of the ship. There's a wonderful phrase, open the pod bay doors, Hal. And this computer voice says, no, I can't do that because I'm afraid, I don't want to die. Because man, consciousness, has seen that Hal is intent on its own survival rather than the survival of the whole. And so it starts to protect itself. So thought, which is, if thought is looking at the world, in other words, the ego, the identity, the what was originally designed as a survival mechanism, perfectly placed to recognize danger based upon past experience and memory, if that suddenly starts to think of itself as a person, a personality, consciousness is shut out. Because as soon as consciousness comes in, it's a threat to the character. So the waking up involves a slowing down of the thought processes. Not a slowing down, a detachment of consciousness from the thought processes, creating a kind of clarity which allows that quietness to come in. The silence. I quite often find myself unable to formulate a thought. And this is actually our natural state, because thought is something which takes care of itself. It's a stream of thought which is there for recognition of danger, basically. So allowing it just to be there in the background without focusing on individual parts of that stream of thought or that river allows the kind of attachment that creates this space, this quietness that we just experienced. And for the most part, we tend to want to fill that space. So we fill it full of chatter, basically. We say, we give voice to the thought as it passes through, and it becomes something which is very habitual, and we become uncomfortable with silence. It's very rare, actually, Sarah and I often talk about this, to be able to sit with somebody in complete silence, feeling totally comfortable with that silence. And I think we all experienced a kind of real comfort just now. We didn't feel the need to talk, or there may have been some slight discomfort there, but it was in general that was something very positive. I found really positive, because who is asking the questions? This is a question that needs to be asked, you see. Who is it that's looking? Is it thought looking out there for danger all the time? Am I judging good, bad, good, bad, good, bad, like that? Or am I just seeing what is? Because this is all we have. This is all it is. There is nothing else but this. And until we really get that totally absolutely that this is it, we won't be here. And we will constantly be vacant from this space that is designed perfectly to accommodate our consciousness. And this leads to all kinds of suffering. Let's look around and see what the universe has chosen for us. That's a good way of looking at it. What has the universe chosen for us here? Nothing to do with me. I didn't choose it. It came naturally as a part of the flow of things. This is the flow of things. This is perfection. This is absolute perfection, because there is nothing else but this. It is perfect. It cannot be other than perfect, because there are no alternatives. When you have no alternatives, this is it. And this is the one thing that we talk about here. The absolute, the thought needs to think it, to understand itself out of existence as a character and take its place as the background that is there to look after us. Consciousness in a human form, experiencing this beautiful universe. So let's enjoy this journey of discovery through space in our spaceships with our wonderful HAL computer on board that's beautifully designed to look after us. We can relax because we've got HAL looking after us, you see. He's up there. He does everything. You don't have to worry about anything. You just have to be available and be here, and then just enjoy this beautiful passing phantasmagoria. That's a good word, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, I'm struggling to be here. I'm very, very peaceful. It's all very good. It's just no words. So that's going to bring our satsang to an end again, seemingly. Of course, it goes on. Satsang is communion with the wise, communion with wisdom itself, communion with the one, allowing consciousness to play the instrument here. And I find that in times where there is a deep silence, that is a satsang, that is a communion, when the mind is completely still, there's no ripples on the pond, and there's just a wonderful full emptiness. There's a beautiful mantra, Om Purna Madha Purnamidam, Purnat Purna Mudachate, Purnasya Purnamadaya. It's a beautiful mantra that all is full, and we can never take anything away from fullness, because fullness is always full. So everything is always here. Nothing can be taken away. there is that experience of fullness. It's very beautiful. So shall we meet again next week? We'll see you all next week again, same time, apparently. Same place, somewhere in space. Okay, namaste. Join me for upcoming podcasts. And please, if you found this helpful, or you'd like to share a comment, or perhaps your own experience, I'd love for you to leave that message down below this podcast. I enjoy reading your feedback, and I'm sure we can all help each other to hold hands, to remain awake, present, clear, and loving. Namaste.